We're in Manchester. It's day two of the Tory party conference. It's Monday. Today we've had a demonstration against Jacob Rees-Mogg at a fringe, but a big speech from the Chancellor and a few terrible jokes along the way.
Now he wants to run our economy. Personally, I wouldn't trust him with a monopoly set. Not even if I could give him the boot.
Now, here to discuss the day with me is Sky's senior political correspondent, Beth Rigby. So, Beth, let's start with this kind of terrible joke we've been getting from politicians. Here's an example from the Scottish Secretary, David Mundell.
You all know the old joke, and thanks, Ruth, for reminding us yesterday. There's more pandas in Scotland than Tory MPs. Now, quite why a Chinese bear should have been adopted as a unit measurement for Conservative success in Scotland, I'm a loss to explain, but it stuck, and I had to grin and bear it.
I mean, I'm not sure that's funny. Do MPs ever do jokes well?
I was talking to a really senior Conservative politician yesterday, and they said part of the problem with this conference is the mood is quite dire and dour, and they're not having enough fun. But I think David Mundell's answer to that by telling appalling jokes on stage is not the direction of travel they should be going in. I mean, the thing is the Tories do have a reputation for really cringy jokes. And I can think back to last year, to 2016, when Andrea Leadsom, who was then the Environment Secretary, made a really cringy joke about poor Wi-Fi across the country being a barrier to her accessing her Pokemon Go account, which clearly isn't going to work when the demographic of your audience is the average age of a Conservative Party member is 71 years old.
Could you see the tumbleweed?
So, just literally Pokemon what? So basically, I think it depends on the personality of the politician. So Philip Hammond making jokes is not really his character. Although apparently he is quite funny in private, but if you don't have a public persona where you're a funny person, then maybe don't try and force it on stage. So Boris Johnson, obviously, you know, is great at telling jokes because it kind of sort of suits his exuberance. And Emily Thornberry last week at Labour, she was great on stage because she had some jokes, she was laughing at her own jokes, and it was quite infectious. But I think when they're kind of scripted in a way that the audience pause for 3 seconds before they realise you've told a gag, that is your moment to try and stick to being a politician and not a stand-up
comedian.
Maybe
they're just too clever, they're too crafted.
Too clever for their own good, yeah.
So in the main conference hall today, we've had a speech from the Chancellor. He really went there with the attacks on Labour, telling delegates that Jeremy Corbyn's vision is the political version of Jurassic Park.
He is a clear and present danger to our prosperity, damaging our economy, even in opposition. His loose talk already deterring the entrepreneurs and the investors we need.
This is another theme on the sidelines of this conference, which is how do the Tories take on Jeremy Corbyn's very popular economic agenda? Because actually, when he talks about, and when he talked last week in Bryce about renationalising the rail and electricity and rent controls, and increase in public sector wages. You know, the audience were cheering from the rafters because there was a poll out last week suggesting that actually these policies are increasingly popular with the public. So a big thing here with the Tories is how do they make the argument for the market economy resonate with voters, and they feel like they have to make that all over again. And there's a bit of an internal debate about whether or not they should start trying to promise more spending, or whether they can't out Corbyn Jeremy Corbyn when it comes to public spending, so should they not bother doing that. I mean, the issue I have a bit with Hammond's line today about Jurassic Park is that a lot of voters don't remember the 1970s. They don't remember what he's talking about because they simply weren't alive or they were children. Mm. So it talks to a demographic, if you like, that the Tories have already got in the bag, older people. And what they really need to make is a different offer to younger voters and those under 45 who move to Labour in a big way. And I don't think they've quite worked out how they're going to deal with that yet.
We had a couple of bits yesterday, didn't we? Like the tuition fees and the help to buy. I guess they're kind of getting there with the policies, but maybe not the delivery, do you think?
Well, I actually don't think they're getting there with the policies either, because the way I read that tuition fees intervention was Theresa May saying, students, we're going to like help you save £30 a month, when Jeremy Corbyn's promising to just let them not pay any fees at all. So to sort of flag up a policy where you have a problem and then not really give a solution that is anywhere attractive to those groups of people that you're trying to win over, I don't think it's a smart move. And it might be that they'd be better off talking more about technical education, about variants of tuition fees depending on, you know, how good courses are and what you earn from it. So they might need to just rethink the whole agenda. But I would have, if I'd been advising number 10 on that, I would have suggested that they came at that once they had a policy idea in place, just rather than saying, we know it's a problem, we'll look at it.
And here's this in the meantime.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Exactly. That's interesting. Away from the conference hall, one of the fringe events today, Jacob Rees-Mogg got a little bit of a hard time. It all got a little bit messy at an event that he was at.
Yeah. So Jacob Rees-Mogg is a sort of fascinating character in the party. He's an arch Brexiteer. He's quite a character. He sort of lounges in the Commons. He's a great performer at the dispatch box. There is around him what is known as Mugmentum, which is an idea that he could be someone to take over the party. Now, lots of senior people in the party would argue that's for the birds, but he's an interesting character. He had this fringe, and apparently people have been turned away. So many people turned up to see him, but unfortunately for him, people that did get into the hall were anti-Tory protesters, and who really sort of took him to task just broadly on the Conservative agenda, but also on this issue of pro-life versus being pro-choice. He is a very, very fervent Catholic, and he is very pro-life. And there was this reports over the weekend that he had been profiting from abortion pill sales through an investment firm that he owns, because he has another business as an investment manager. And he was taken to task by demonstrators, and he simply said that story is not true. But it was quite tense moment for him, although I think he did handle it quite well. But the big thing I have noticed at this conference compared to, say, a year ago, is the scale of the protest.
Mm. Let's have a listen to some of that with Jacob Rees-Mogg just now.
I think it's very hypocritical that you profit from a drug for abortions.
That story is not true, because in Indonesia abortions are illegal, so the drug company can't provide a drug for abortions in Indonesia.
It's still used for that, though.
Not in Indonesia, where the company produces it.
So he did stick up for himself pretty well, but as you say, there is a bit more anger surrounding the conference.
There is, and I think that there's been there has been a shift in tone. I mean, there was a banner on a bridge that was tweeted out by Conservative MPs saying "Hang the Tories," which clearly is just not acceptable language. And then actually, there were so many protesters out there yesterday that the police were having to kettle them. So there is definitely a fervent anti-conservative sentiment amongst some people, but obviously they have to do that in a way that doesn't intimidate people that are coming here. People have rights to be a Conservative Party member and come to a Conservative Party conference.
Tomorrow we are going to be turning our attention back to Brexit, I think. Lots of Brexit-based speeches.
I'm not sure we've turned our attention away.
maybe briefly.
I mean, the thing is, Theresa May really wanted to come here and put everything back onto the domestic agenda, and that was the idea. They were going to talk about education and skills, they were going to talk about housing, they were going to talk about industrial strategy. And then Boris Johnson did an intervention in the Sun newspaper over the weekend, talking about his four Brexit red lines. And again, the narrative switches to Brexit Boris Johnson versus Theresa May, and that has really set the tone, unfortunately for her, for the conference. So they tried to get off that today, but tomorrow, you're right, we've got the three big Brexiteers' speeches, David Davis, Boris Johnson and Liam Fox. I think the thing to look out for is just anything Boris says. How loyal is he? Does he toe the party line? Does he try and create mischief on the stage? And also David Davis. What's been interesting in recent weeks and months is the way in which David Davis has, you know, fallen into step with the Prime Minister, actually kind of arguing and batting with her when it comes to a more pragmatic Brexit. You might not have thought that he would be Mr. We need to pay a Brexit bill, we need to have a transition deal a few months ago. So he has kind of moved in line more with the Prime Minister, or is certainly trying to be loyal to her. So it'd be fascinating to see what he says, but obviously everyone will be watching for what Boris says on Brexit, but also they might be hoping for a better joke.
We can but hope. Thanks, Steph.